We all know you snooze through a few of your classes. Shane Norling has got you covered. All the college games you're watching.
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
Plus the ones you didn't know you needed to care about.
Can you believe what you just saw?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap!
Welcome to Snorlin' U.
What an abysmal week last week. Oh, Christ. Things could not have gone worse. I mean, you just cannot get worse than what happened a week ago Saturday. On the biggest college football day in 30 years, I got absolutely destroyed. Destroyed. The picks that I gave out. Ready? The nine games that I picked that I gave you. 1-8. The only solace I can take from a day like that, a 1-8 day, where a lot of these guys, I was flat out wrong. Texas, Iowa State, that never really felt like a winner. There was a moment in the second quarter, Texas went up 14-3, 14-7 maybe. And I really felt like, boy, we got a shot. Quinn Ewers settling in, things looking good. That Iowa State defense, it just held. Bama, Tennessee. Bama was never a winner. TCU, Oklahoma State. This one was the one where it kind of felt like we might get it. The 4th and 9, TCU gives up a first down in overtime. That can't happen. But when something like that does, you're not winning 3 and a hook. Got a little screwed there. Couldn't get the push. TCU does win the game. But the hook kills us. Syracuse, NC State was the only spot where I was just right. I was just flat out right about the status of that game. Devin Leary did not play. He's out for the season. Blooms off the rose with North Carolina State. Syracuse went out, took care of business. Inferior opponent. Bad quarterback situation. Great running game. Just took care of business. That was the one spot I was right. Florida LSU never had a shot. Utah USC. Utah won the game, but the two-point conversion at the end, no chance in overtime to get a shot there because Utah went for the win. Look, respect the decision. It fucks me. So took the L there. But again, that one never felt like a winner. I mean, USC stormed out to a 21-7 lead. It never felt like that even had a chance to get off the ground. It was dead the second the ball got kicked off. Kansas getting 9 against Oklahoma. That was an L. Never had a shot. Penn State getting 7 against Michigan. Penn State had a 2-point lead at halftime, nearly. Michigan ends up taking a 2-point lead into the half, actually. And we get what happened with that game was I was just wrong. Michigan is just that team. They might be the one of one. And they dominated Penn State. Over 400 yards on the ground against a team that was the 5th-ranked rushing defense. That game, one game, dropped them from the 5th-ranked rushing defense to the 56th-ranked rushing defense in America. And then Mississippi State, Kentucky, again, never had a shot. It just, everything I touched turned to shit. The bloom came off the rose on every one of these picks almost instantaneously. Every game that I bet was a loser. The only solace that I can take from that is it's as hard to go 1-8 as it is to go 8-1. You should trip over yourself and fall into 3-5 on an or 3-6 on a 9-game slate if you have a bad day. 1-8? It's the single worst day I've ever had picking games, and I feel horrible because I'm taking on this passion project. I'm doing this thing. And I've reached the point where, look, I'm not even going to, if you want to fade parade, whatever pick that I give you, if you want to go out and just say, this guy's an idiot, he doesn't know what he's talking about, honestly, fine. Every 6-7 years, you get a year like this in college football where it's just chaos, right? Georgia was supposed to be 1-1. They don't look all that good. Bama. Rebuilding year, probably. The secondary is horrible. The Big 12 is a bloodbath. You look around the Big 10, Michigan and Ohio State might be the two best teams in America. That can only happen in a chaos year. That's what we're dealing with in college football. At this point, there's no other way to spin it. You look at the way some of these games have gone. Utah beating USC, the Pac-12, unless UCLA can win at Oregon this weekend. They can't. The Pac-12's out of the playoff. I mean, we are in a situation where, now this matters if UCLA wins out, there is a realistic pathway to like a Tennessee, Ohio State, UCLA, TCU college football playoff. That's the level of chaos that we're looking at. Does Clemson look that good to anybody? They don't look all that good to me, but I'm not sure where you bet against them. And I've tried it a few times. I didn't give it on the pod. I bet Florida State money line. Tallahassee at night. New Mike Norvell kind of team. Feels like they can win, playing better. Nope. They got slaughtered. And I know the game ended 35-28, but if you watched it, Florida State was dead early. And Clemson's a team, look, the secondary's not great. There's a lot of issues back there. I don't think they're a playoff team. But again, we are in a chaos year. So I think all you can do at this point, if you're looking at the board, if you're going through some of these games and deciding what you want to play on a Saturday, and I'm going to do something a little different this week too, and I'll get to that in a moment. But when you go through all these games, I think you have to just look at them and go, chaos reigns this year. We don't really have the data. Like, I came in last week all pumped up, jazzed. I thought I had it figured out. 5-3 week. Felt really good about some things. I did even better off the pod. I really felt good coming into last week. Biggest week in 30 years. I feel like we have the data points. I feel like we've hit a spot where I'm going to get in the stride. The grind's paying off. And then more chaos. I mean, TCU, Oklahoma State, the way that game was played, that was a war. And TCU settles for 4 field goals on red zone trips. It just, things are happening in ways I've never seen before. And maybe the best example, Penn State, Michigan, right? +7, never felt like a winner in the first half. But we enter halftime, and I believe the score was Michigan 16, Penn State 14. And it was one of the strangest halves of football you will ever watch, because Penn State had under 100 total yards scrimmage in the first half. They could not run the ball. They could get nothing going in the passing game. Sean Clifford was under pressure and sacked like half his dropbacks, just getting killed. Michigan, dominant offensively, but drives stall out in the red zone, settle for a couple field goals, a weird fluky bounced off the shoulder pad pick 6 for Penn State, and Penn State's right in it. And you feel like, okay, if Penn State just doesn't make mistakes in the second half, maybe we pull out a miracle W here. But no, because they were getting dominated. It was just what you saw on the scoreboard was so contrarian to what your eyeballs were showing you, which was Michigan dominating, absolutely dominating, and Penn State's 2 points back at halftime. And people got on Michigan. Well, how can you settle for the field goal? You're up, or you're down 14-13, and you get the ball back. You should just score. But psychologically, I think you want to send Michigan into halftime feeling like the score was representative of what they did. So that's the decision you make there. The point I'm making to you is this. Week in, week out, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. I don't know that the market is really sure what's going to happen. So I want to run through some of these games for this week and just kind of offer an opinion. I don't know that I'm going to pick a lot of these. Full disclosure, I am not confident with college football anymore. The card's going to get shorter, a lot shorter, like 3 to 5 picks a week. I'm going to start offering some NFL, because the NFL this year, I have made an absolute killing. If I weren't betting college football, I would be having the best gambling season of my life, because the NFL has been such a honeypot. So I want to get into some of the NFL on this pod, because I know it's snoiling you, but I realized, hey, I can do whatever the hell I want. So I'm going to do that. But first, I want to run through some of the bigger games in college. I'll offer you a couple plays, but I'm not married to this. I'm going to a wedding this weekend. I want to enjoy myself. I don't want to be stuck in front of a television. I don't want to be sitting on my phone, checking the updates, checking the scores nonstop. I want to enjoy myself. I want to let loose a little bit. This is not the greatest weekend of college football that you're ever going to see. There are some nice games, so I want to talk about them, offer you my opinions on a few of them, reasons why for most of them I'm not going to be betting them. And then I want to give a little bit of NFL. So this week is going to be a little different, because I need to reset what I'm doing collegiately. So we'll go to the pro game. for most of the betting, and I'll give you some college opinions. One thing I would look at when you're looking at this board, there's some decent matchups here, but like Ohio State, Iowa on paper, preseason, great game. Right now, horrible game. And Ohio State is laying a metric ton, 29.5 point favorite over Iowa in the shoe. Ohio State has looked impressive at times. They covered a huge number against Rutgers by an eyelash. They covered a massive number against Toledo. They put 77 up in that game. Iowa can be a different beast. The problem I have with this game is you're outside of four touchdowns. If this were 27.5, 28, I'd probably lay it with Ohio State. 29.5 in a game with a 49.5 point total. You are basically saying to me that Ohio State has to win this, like, either 39-0 or like 49-10 or 48-10 in some range like that, because of just the 48-0 really, or like 38-10. And 38-10 doesn't get you there. So the 29.5 in a game that I think is going to be lower scoring, because regardless what you think of Iowa's offense and the opportunism that they give to other defenses, they are still difficult to score against. Ohio State has not been the most efficient team. They've dealt with some health issues, whether it's the running back Travion Henderson, whether it's Jackson Smith and Jigba, guys missing certain games, times where the offense is kind of slogged. The Notre Dame game's not super impressive. I do think we tick them up in our power ratings because of what we've seen across the college football landscape, but I'm not in a position where I can just tell you, yeah, lay 29.5. Lay a metric ton. And sure, now I know this is going to be the week. I'm going to talk through some of these. I'll give you sides on all of them. And it's going to be the week they all win, and I don't bet any of them. Like, Syracuse-Clemson's a great example. Clemson does not look good, right? They're a 13.5-point favorite against Syracuse in Death Valley. It's a very difficult environment for Cuse to go play. And if you go look at what's been happening with Syracuse, this great story, 6-0, the quarterback Garrett Schrader has played really well. The running back Sean Tucker might be one of the two or three best running backs in America, if not number one. And you kind of feel like Dino Babers has things right. This team's playing well. They have a chance to contend for the ACC. 13.5-point dog. How does that happen? My issue with this: you're inside two touchdowns, and I think Clemson can win by two touchdowns. My fear here is Clemson gets Miles Murphy back on the defensive line. Stud defensive lineman, will go in the NFL, top 10 pick, absolute monster of a man. They're getting healthy up front. They have the ability to wreak havoc in Syracuse's backfield. And while the secondary is not good, I don't know if sending Garrett Schrader to Death Valley against Clemson is a situation where you can rely on Syracuse passing offense. It's been good. They have decent weapons. Schrader's played really well. But if you look at, like, the Purdue game, nearly lost at home. If you look at the West Virginia game, which is even worse, nearly lost at home. And frankly, Syracuse historically and Dino Babers historically does not win on the road. They do not go on the road and play well. They get a huge advantage from the dome in Syracuse. If you've been there, it's loud. There's some special acoustic thing. It sounds like it rings off the tin of the roof. It's a different environment when you go there. It is not an easy place to play. But that's part of the reason why when you talk about Syracuse and Dino Babers and these guys going on the road as a great story, the public loves them. They're going to be all over them. And I think Clemson, you look at, has not played that well, but they're getting healthy defensively. They're going to march that front out in full health, full go, no snap counts for the first time all season. I think Syracuse is walking into a really bad spot. If I were going to bet you, fuck it, I'm going to bet it. Clemson minus 13.5 is going to be one of the few picks that I'm going to give you. Again, I don't love Clemson, but getting inside of the two touchdowns, that's a spot where I really feel like this is just Syracuse, the bloom comes off the rose, not to overuse that phrase, But this is the weekend where, look, it's a great story, a little bit like Kansas. Eventually, the wheels are going to fall off. Speaking of Kansas, they're on the road in Waco taking on Baylor, and they're a 9.5-point dog. Have I learned nothing? I go to TCU against Kansas because I wanted to get my money back. I did. And then I go back to the well on Kansas against deadbeat Oklahoma, and Kansas gets bombed. And this Jason Bean kid, the quarterback, looked horrible. He looked every bit as bad as he did a year ago. And it's not a guy that I can put my money on. Baylor, 9.5-point favorite after losing to West Virginia. That's a line the public's going to look at really funny, huh? Well, you got to bet Kansas. They're good this year, right? Again, the wheels have fallen off for the Jayhawks. F Kansas. I think you only bet Baylor if you're going to bet it. I'm not. Inside of 10, I don't think it's a terrible price. If you keep looking through the board, again, I told you, this is not the greatest weekend of college football that I've ever seen. I want to talk through some of the bigger games, and then I'll move on to the pro slate. UCLA at Oregon. And this is another one where people kind of sleep on the environment. Pac-12, you don't see Oregon play a lot during the day. This game will be 2:30 Central, as it should be. You get to see the Pac-12 have their premier matchup. Number 9, UCLA. Number 10, Oregon. It'll be on TV while the sun is up on the East Coast and in the Midwest. So you'll be able to watch it. And UCLA is a 6-point dog as the higher-ranked team going on the road. If you take a look at Bo Nix home road splits, Bo Nix at home, whether he's at Auburn or Oregon, is a totally different quarterback. He's good. And Autzen Stadium in Eugene is one of the most difficult places to play. It does not get talked about, but it is similar to Death Valley and Baton Rouge. It is similar to some of the more harrowing environments that you can think of in college football. It's probably in the top 3 to 5 most difficult places to go and play. UCLA, I think, is one of the best teams in the Pac-12. I've told you I think they have the best defense in the Pac-12. The quarterback, his name escapes me, a DST, I think. This guy has been playing miles over his head, and if you expect regression at some point, which everybody should, I'm hoping for it this weekend because I've been so terrible collegiately, this is a spot where I think if you're going to bet this game, it looks like UCLA, but I do think it's Oregon or nothing. And the 6 scares me. The reason the 6 scares me, I'd like it a lot at 5.5. But in college football, hashtag college kickers, can't make shit. And everybody's going for 2 in weird spots. Everybody is going for 2 points in really odd spots. If you watch these games every weekend, you'll see times teams down 7 after scoring going for 2. Just weird shit. Where I get a little nervous about covering the 6. Because if UCLA scores down 14 and they're down 7, they're down 8 and they're going for 2 to make it a 6-point game, and that's how you push out on the 6, they're down 7 going for 2 for some god unknown reason, and that's how you lose on the 6. The 6 is scarier in college football than I think it has been in a really long time. It's the only reason I wouldn't bet that. Texas, Oklahoma State. I know Okie State just went to war with TCU. Kind of an emotional letdown maybe here at home. Getting 6.5 as a home dog against Texas. Here's the deal. Quinn Ewers is still a freshman quarterback, as good as he is. And he survived what was a bloodbath with Iowa State. That's a great defense for the Cyclones. He survived that game. Texas survived that game. Now you go to Oklahoma State for homecoming, which I know people will roll their eyes out. At Oklahoma State, homecoming is a big deal. They call it the greatest homecoming in America. They take it very seriously. And I just look at the fact that that defense is real. Spencer Sanders is real, but maybe a little dinged up. And I understand that this team, coming off of the letdown that was the end of that TCU game, they get gutted in overtime. I don't know how you can lay 6.5 with Texas. I don't know how you can do it. I would only bet Oklahoma State here, but again, the 6.5 scares me. If I could get this at 7, 7.5, I'm all over Okie State. But the books aren't running a charity, and that's where this gets scary to me, and I'm not willing to bet it. Might I come Saturday afternoon if I'm running a little late, if I have some time, I want to watch it? Sure, I might put a little on it. But I'm not thrilled by it. One of the weirdest lines you are going to see all season. Ole Miss, number 7 in the nation, traveling to Baton Rouge, a 2.5-point dog against unranked LSU. If I were feeling confident, I'm not, but if I were, I would bet LSU automatically. Unranked, minus 2.5 against number 7, what is going on? Just on number alone, if I were feeling good, I'd automatically bet LSU. The reason I'm not, I have yet to win a bet on an LSU game this season. I have no read on this team. I can't figure out Brian Kelly. I can't figure out the receiving game. I can't figure out the quarterback. I can't figure out when the defense is going to get nuked and when they're going to play well against Tennessee. I thought they could keep things close defensively. They got bombed. I'm not comfortable betting LSU because I've had no read on LSU. But if I were going to bet it, if I were in a confident position, LSU would be the only way that I would play that game. Mississippi State, Alabama, another interesting game this weekend. Mississippi State, a 21-point dog against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Here's another team that just does not look very good. Bama, the secondary sucks for Saban's tenure. It might be the worst that he's ever had. They can't guard anybody. Yet they're 21-point favorites against a sneaky good Mississippi State team. I can't lay 21 with Bama because if I do it again, I've been burned betting Bama as a big favorite twice this year, Texas and Tennessee. If I do it again and I lose again, I will feel like an idiot. I also can't bet Mississippi State because if I bet them and Bama blows them out, I will feel like a clown for having bet Nick Saban after a loss, bet against Nick Saban after a loss. I can't do it, and I won't do it. Minnesota, Penn State's one I get interested in. Penn State coming home after a bludgeoning by Michigan. They get ticked down a little bit. So I look at Penn State here, minus 4 against Minnesota. I think the market's overreacting a little bit too much. I think Penn State should be a 7-point favorite. Minnesota has a great ground game with Ibrahim, but they don't have the offensive line that Michigan has. And that was really the difference maker. Michigan has a one-of-one offensive line in America. It's probably the best. In fact, it's not probably the best. It is the best offensive line in America. And they bullied Penn State. Minnesota has a great running back in Ibrahim, but if you go watch what happened to Penn State against Minnesota, there were holes blown wide open. So I kind of think when I look at Penn State and the rush defense and how good it was going into the Michigan game, I think you take the Michigan game and make it the anomaly. And I think you just ride with the fact, look, Tanner Morgan, not healthy, right, for Minnesota, the quarterback. Tanner Morgan's not healthy. Ibrahim's out there, but he doesn't have the O-line to run behind that Michigan offered to their backs, Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. So I think this is a spot where you just ride with Penn State, minus 4. I think they can win by a touchdown. It's one of the only bets I'm making this weekend. Last game I want to talk about, because again, this slate stinks, TCU minus 3.5 hosting Kansas State. Already told you about TCU. They went to war with Oklahoma State last weekend. Kansas State is another big test. TCU is going through their gauntlet right now. And when I say gauntlet, I mean an absolute hell in a cell of a schedule. They bombed Oklahoma, who we since found out stinks. And then they go to absolute war with Kansas and war again with Okie State. And now you get 3.5 against Kansas State. And the half point is what's killing me. That hook, I cannot lose on. And I won't lose on it. And I think the only way you bet this game is to actually bet K-State. They're a more talented team than anyone wants to talk about. They have one of the better players in America. They're strong up front. And TCU's defense ain't good. I get really fearful betting against this 3.5. I think Kansas State is the only way to bet it, and it is one of my plays this week. So that's what I'm giving you this week. Like I said, I'm at a wedding. I'm not going to be all over the board. So I wanted to offer just a few games. Clemson as a 13.5-point favorite over Syracuse. And then We also had the Penn State minus four against Mississippi State. Penn State minus four against Minnesota. And then finally the Kansas State plus 3.5 against TCU. And TCU, I do think, can win that game. And I hope they do, because I hope they win the Big 12. But I'm not going to be able to bet that side. Quickly, I want to get into the pro side of things, because this is where I've truly shined this year. When you look at the Thursday night game, I'll give you a special. Arizona is the only way I think you can bet this. The Cardinals and the Saints. Cardinals are getting healthy. You know, they made the trade for Robbie Anderson. You're going to get DeAndre Hopkins back from suspension. I think they're in a position where, look, the Saints with Andy Dalton have not been super effective. Their entire receiving core has been banged up, from Michael Thomas to Chris Olave. They can't stay healthy. The defense plays well, but just not well enough. The loss to the Bengals last week, you give up 34, a 60-yard touchdown to Jamar Chase late. So in this spot tonight, Thursday night football, I will be betting the Arizona Cardinals minus 2.5. Some of the other lines on the board that I really like: Jags Giants is an interesting one. The 5-1 Giants going to Jacksonville, getting 3 points. Jacksonville's reeling, lost 4 straight games. They don't look great, but here's the deal. They play much, much better at home. For whatever weird reason, they do not win divisional road games. Last week in Indianapolis, divisional road game. They could have won that game. They failed, and now you're looking at them hosting the Giants as a 3-point favorite in a line that kind of makes you go, huh? But I've been on the Giants 2 straight weeks. I was on the Giants when they played the Packers in London. I was on the Giants when they played the Ravens. And now I'm going against the Giants, because if you look at what their average net yards per attempt, defensively and offensively, they're terrible on both sides of the ball. If you watch the end of the Baltimore game, Lamar Jackson turned it over twice, with opportunities to win that game. You can't cap for it. Running for his life and then just throwing an ill-advised pass that gets picked, and Saquon Barkley gets the touchdown. There's been a lot of luck involved in the Giants' 5-1 start. And the Jags, I think, coming back home, you have the home field advantage, warm weather in October, northern team coming south. I just think it's an area where, look, people are heavy on the Giants. Money's starting to come in on the Jags. It's open 2.5. It's out to 3. I think if you like this game, you want to bet this game, it's Jags minus 3. Another game that sticks out to me: Packers on the road in Washington taking on the Commanders, and the Packers are 4.5-point favorites, and that's a number that's down from 5.5, and it's now in a spot where I like it. I can't bet the Commanders. I know they're replacing Wentz with Heinicke. I know that things, maybe people think that's an upgrade because Wentz has missed some throws. He's been sacked so much. But the reality is that offensive line is horrendous. Look, the Jets went into Lambeau. They were able to do some things, especially with stunt packages against Green Bay's offensive line that had just gotten healthy. Bakhtiari comes back. Newman in the guard position getting murdered by stunt packages that Saleh and the Jets brought to him. You know who doesn't have stunt packages installed in their defense? Washington. They have no stunt packages. Despite the fact that they're a great pass-rushing team, it's all straight rushes. And with Bakhtiari back off a loss, I think Rodgers simplifying the offense, making things easier on younger receivers, and LaFleur, kind of the two of them putting their heads together to make things easier for the limited talent that they have in the offensive game, this is where you buy low on the Packers. You will never get them lower than this the rest of this season. And they probably aren't going to be a great team, but minus 4.5 in Washington against the deadbeat Commanders, starting Heinicke, whatever you think of Wentz, Heinicke is not an upgrade. It's at best a lateral move. This is just a spot. Look, this is as low as it's going to get. It's obvious to me. You have to buy low on the Packers here. Jets Broncos, money coming in on the Jets. This was 2.5. It's now 1.5. I think everybody's lost the love on Russell Wilson, the cringy videos, the Broncos country, let's ride, the Subway commercials, all this shit that he's doing. Very phony seeming person. If you're going to bet this game, once again, I think this is the buy low spot. I think this, in fact, is both a sell-high spot on the Jets and a buy-low spot on the Broncos. if you watched the game on Monday Night Football, the offense figured some things out. In the first half, Russell actually looked effective in the passing game. They got some of their receivers open. I think you have a team that's playing for their life in Denver and, frankly, is more talented than the Jets. The defense for Denver is spectacular. Zach Wilson for New York has not been impressive. He's made terrible decisions. The defense for that team has really been what carried them. They have some weapons, Breece Hall, but they've had opportunistic moments. In Lambeau, blocked a punt, blocked a field goal, got a pick, all of these things. Things had to go very right for New York to win that game in Lambeau. I'm not sure it was entirely a depiction of how talented they are. When you win big in the NFL, I think it says more about the team that won than it does the team that lost. I think a lot of times you can throw those scores out, make them anomalies. One of those is like the Lions losing 29-0 in New England. I'll get to that in a moment. This is, to me, the Broncos on paper are the more talented team. They have an excellent defense. They will bother Zach Wilson. The corners, Patrick Surtain is awesome. This is absolutely a buy low spot on Denver for me. Kansas City going to San Francisco is a 2.5-point dog. Kansas City's been impressive, 4-2. San Francisco's lost a couple spots they shouldn't have. I actually value San Francisco as a little bit better than Kansas City. I power rate San Francisco based off the defense, the offensive line, the rushing attack, and even with Jimmy G going back home, I rate San Francisco slightly higher than Kansas City. I'd have them favored in this game. I would have San Francisco as about a 1.5-point favorite. They're a 2.5-point dog right now. Kansas City, I think, is a little bit overvalued. If you've watched them, the defense has really struggled. There have been times where the passing offense has really struggled. Obviously, you throw away what happened in Tampa Bay, where, let's be honest, that team blows. You throw away what happened with Arizona week one, where they fed into everything that Kansas City wants you to do, a ton of too high. So this is, to me, you can bet Niners money line if you want. I'm going to bet Niners 2.5, plus 2.5 against Kansas City at home, America's game of the week. I'm going to bet the Niners plus 2.5. I think you could bet the Niners money line. I would never bet the Chiefs. I just can't get to that price. I think that the Chiefs, honestly, should be a 1-point dog on the road in this game. And then I'll give you one last pick. It does concern the beloved. Bears at Patriots. At time of taping, the line is 8.5. God have mercy on my soul. I'm a Patriots fan. I hope the Patriots win this game. If they win it big, cool. I do not think they will. I do not think they will win this game big. I think they will win. I don't think they're winning by more than a touchdown. If you go and really dig in, everybody's talking about how good the football is that's being played by the Patriots. They took the Packers to the limit. Well, that Packers team's not that great. They beat the Lions. Lions are hapless, have a horrific defense. And also, I want to talk about something that happened in that game. 6-0. Patriots are up. Lions are in field goal range, 4th and 9, and they go for it. And what happens on that go for it on 4th and 9? Jared Goff fumbles, scoop and score, 13-0. Here, Bailey Zappi, have a little confidence. Detroit kicks a field goal and makes it. It's a 6-3 game, and it's a totally different atmosphere. It's a totally different situation. Zappi had gotten nothing going offensively. The Patriots had gotten nothing going offensively, and the Lions just handed them confidence. And then you have the big win over the Browns last weekend for the Pats. But the secret's out on the Browns. The defense sucks. It's terrible. It's probably the second worst outside of Detroit's. Then you have the Bears, and as bad as the Bears are, the defense is allowing 15 points a game. It's been a good unit. The special teams, aside from the muffed punts, has been a good unit. And the Patriots really have been most effective on the ground, where the Bears have been iffy. But the Bears don't allow you to score. And when you have a rookie quarterback making only his third start, unless it's Mac Jones, if it's Mac Jones, maybe I look at this a little differently, but not particularly because he's been so loose with the football. But I just look at this game. prime time Monday night, only show in town. Bears games go under. The total's 39.5. Games that Justin Fields plays in go under. Again, the total's 39.5. So if you're telling me there's like 34 points scored in this game, you're basically saying the Patriots have to win 24-14-ish, 24-10. I don't know that they can do that. To me, this looks like a 17-13, 17-10 type game on paper. And I'm really, frankly, nervous laying more than a touchdown with the Patriots because I don't think they're that good. They're playing well right now because of the soft part of the schedule. They look okay on paper. You know, they rank like seventh, I think, in average net yards per attempt on both sides of the ball. But they're not great. And I think a lot of that is the strength of the opponent. And I would never have had them as an 8.5-point favorite over anybody preseason. 5.5, 5, 4.5, I'm probably betting New England. 8.5, I have no choice but to bet Chicago. So against my better knowledge, Chicago will be my last pick on the pro board this week. All right, have a great week. Love you all. We'll try to do better. Appreciate it.